Welcome to the Wednesday rant / Wednesday wisdom. I always put that disclaimer in there because I never know which way this thing's going to go. This is John St. Augustine. Glad to have you with me one more time on the Life 2.0 podcast. Full disclosure, I've been kind of feeling a little bit under the weather. Of course, I also know that we're all living under the weather unless you're above about 38,000 feet. But the creeping crud, as it's called, my mom used to call it that, the creeping crud. Should have been a t-shirt or bumper sticker made with that on it, because I don't know anybody who's not had some touch of something going around. And it's a sneaky little bugger, isn't it? You're feeling good one day, the next day you feel like a short turd dropped out of a tall cow's ass, and it's kind of a cyclical thing. It goes round and round. So I get to the gym and I feel pretty good. Then I come back, I'm like, I need a nap. So it's been bouncing around here and there. And while for the most part I feel really good, that's compared to like what? So if I'm running at about 50%, which is half of my normal energy, I'm considering that a pretty good day. So it's probably got to do with the polar vortex and the helix and the DNA strands all getting tangled together. I don't know, but glad to be back with you a little bit. I got a hodgepodge today. These are things that have been kind of bouncing through my mind over the last week or 10 days. And I think I'm going to work forward rather than back to the front, which makes no sense to you, but makes total sense to me because I got this thing laid out a little bit. I don't have a script. I'm working without a tightrope or, you know, any kind of, if I was working without a tightrope, that wouldn't be good, would it? I wouldn't be working with anything then. So I'm working without a net, but I'm on a tightrope. How's that? Give me a little break. I got some rust on my brain. I think the alternative title for this could be Headlines versus Lifelines. And that's really the crux of my focus today. So because I've been under the weather, the creeping crud, you can fill in the blank and call it whatever you want. And on the top of the fact that I don't watch television much at all when it comes to any kind of news shows or whatever, you know, if the world's going to end, I probably won't know about it. And if it's going to end, I don't want to know about it. So from that point on, I'm kind of like, this stuff's really same shit, different day. So, but first I got to kind of roll back over the last 8-9 days of things that were headlines to give myself, and I think what we're going to talk about, at least what I'm offering you today, a little bit of perspective. So every now and again, I'll go to something called The Week. And what The Week does, besides try to sell you all kind of crap, like a really thin wallet and stuff like that, is it takes a look at The Week that has come and gone, some of the top headlines there. And I don't really click on that stuff, but I just like to see what I missed, see if it was important. It's kind of like reading the horoscope after it's already happened, right? So if you read the horoscope on the day before, you're expecting your day to be a certain way tomorrow. If you read your horoscope at the end of the day, you could look back and go, maybe this happened, maybe it didn't. But if you go back and read an old horoscope from a week ago, go, well, that didn't happen. That's kind of how I see the news. So it seems so important on the day that it's broken and breaking, and the next day there's something else to top it, so what's the big deal? So here's some of the things that I kind of just saw a blip of or got a little glimpse of, but I don't know that I need to know any more about it. Of course, there's this huge scandal at the top schools in America. A bunch of Hollywood types and other really rich people are paying, apparently, to get their kids into schools that they can't academically make it. And then they're buying their way in and writing checks and supporting them in a way that is a little bit nefarious, if you ask me. And apparently a lot of other people think so. Somebody was taken out in handcuffs. The woman who was on Full House is in trouble, her and her husband, and they were doctoring photos and all this kind of stuff. So, okay, whatever. Governor Gavin Newsom in California is freezing the death penalty. The U.S. is now virtually alone in allowing the Boeing 737 MAX jets to fly because they're dropping, you know, left and right. After new Brexit defeat, the U.K. Parliament is to vote on a no-deal EU divorce. That'll be huge, huh? Paul Manafort faces up to 10 years in prison in a second sentencing hearing. The Department of Justice undercovers that large-scale college entrance exam cheating scheme. I don't feel so bad about not having any grade point average at all my first year in college. The left's baffling socialist swoon. What does climate change mean for having children? Did Trump really propose cutting Medicare? Britain is once again on the brink. Is Pelosi's leadership and speakership over? Can Elizabeth Warren become president as a nerd? And the list goes on and on. Those are the headlines. Those are the things to me that beg my attention, but probably shouldn't. I should be begging off more than I am. Even reading these gets my blood pressure up a little bit. Why? Can't do anything about it. Not one of those things that I listed, none of them, and I skipped some, like apparently the president was signing Bibles. Okay. And somebody else, are the financial regulators getting too comfortable with the economy? I can't do anything about anything I just read. And I think there's a great danger in being poked at constantly and not having any way to poke back at stuff except get pissed off. When I started creating this podcast and all the work that I've done for 20 plus years in radio, to my very best effort and as diligent as I possibly could be, I try to stay out of that stuff. I mean, I get sucked in every now and again too, like a Hoover vacuum cleaner, picking up some, you know, cat hair. But I got to really stop and push away from that, because those are just the headlines. They come and go. And if you really want a perspective, you think things are in the shitter now, go back and look 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago. They're online. You can look at headlines way back into the 1800s, ever since there were headlines and somebody started putting up copies of old headlines. It's always been a shit box. We're always trying. It's like a cat box. You know, the cat takes a crap in there and he digs a hole and covers it. And then you got to eventually go back in and sift it out and throw it away. Otherwise, you can't stand the smell. I grew up with a lot of cats, if you can't tell. So that's my metaphor. And so we've always been taking a shit and trying to cover it, because there's another shit coming. More headlines, more stuff's coming along all the time. And this is nothing new. What is new is the constant bombardment of it, that there's really like no place to hide from unless you totally turn it off, which is what I prescribe, and stay away from this stuff and stay away from the 24/7 news services. You know, I know people that have this stuff, you know, breaking headlines coming onto their phones, and they're going, can you believe this is happening? Yeah, I can believe it, because it's been happening ever since there were more than three of us on the planet. So that's kind of how I see all that. Those are the headlines. And for me to dig into those would be a waste of my time and your time as well on the Wednesday rant slash Wednesday wisdom stance slash WTF Wednesday. Some of this stuff all fits in one box. So that's the headlines. Well-defined, always there, always will be there. Not going to get any better. I don't even know if it's getting any worse. It's just more prevalent. When I was a kid, as I recall, we had first like four TV channels and five, if you count PBS, which was kind of, you know, off on channel 11. So we had 2, 5, 7, and 9. Those were the big four in Chicago. Channel 11 was something that had like some programming, but, you know, outside of Sesame Street, you didn't watch it. And then there was this other channel, UHF, ultra high frequency. UHF. On Friday night, we would kind of tune it, or I think it was Saturday night, was Sven Gulli, or it was called Screaming Yellow Theater back then. And then it eventually became Sven Gulli, and Rich Coes is now you know, nationally known as Sven Gulli. But back in the 60s and 70s, you had this little thing on the side of your TV, and you'd put it to the U, and then you would tune this, at least we had it, and you would tune this to a certain ultra-high frequency that came in on your antenna that you stood there and held, and you could get channel 32. We got Screaming Yellow Theater. My sister and I would sit there and watch these horrible, terrible, really bad horror movies. And you can only get it on channel 32 unless you turned on channel 9 and you got Creature Features on Saturday night. But that was really basically the input of information. And the news wasn't on like it is now. It was on it. As I recall, there might be some early morning stuff, small, but there was no market for it. There was no audience for that. People were working. They were off on their job. They didn't sit around all the time and go, what's the morning news shows have? The news was on at 5 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night, then 10 o'clock. It wasn't on at 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 with the same stuff over and over again. And there certainly wasn't anything like a weather channel. You want a weather channel? You stick your head out the window. That was the weather channel. So this influx of information, I don't know that it's good for us. Certainly for me, it's just like enough. I don't want to know the weather 19 days in advance unless I'm traveling to the far side of the planet, and I don't do that anymore. So I don't need to know that. I don't sit and watch these guys go out and the ladies talk about weather 24 hours a day. I mean, it's fine if you do, but I never thought weather would become like a spectator sport or a pay-per-view. So interesting to me how much comes full circle in our lives. I grew up at a time where Sunday morning, my dad would put a stack of vinyl records on, and they'd play, you know, until he had to restack the records. Vinyl. Had a cassette player, which had come out of having an 8-track player. And now what's the big thing? After all the technology on the planet you could possibly muster and the billions of dollars spent in development, vinyl records. You go to the bookstore and there's a retro vinyl section. Really? Really? So there's that come back around. And now what's the other big thing? We went from having one television set to multiple television sets to the antenna to having the ultimate experience of cable television. Ultimate experience of millions of channels. You can't possibly ever watch all of them, but and here you go. And now what? $12 antenna. You get free channels, just like you did in 1969. Fascinating stuff to me. Fascinating stuff to me. And so when I look at all that, I think about the things that, that there's this cyclical aspect to our lives. And we do it to ourselves. I mean, it's not a big mystery here. We have, you know, some movers and shakers, but I'm wondering who was sitting in the, being a Bobby 5 years ago and, hey, let's roll that vinyl out again. They'll buy it. Or, hey, let's get a $12 antenna. Make those available. We'll kill the cable industry. And what's happening? Exactly that. So it's just a big circle. And so what goes around always comes around. I just don't know that we're aware of it sometimes. So my job, I've always felt, or my calling, which became a career, was to kind of point out the things that seem pointless, to try to make sense of the senseless, and to see if we can't find the obvious truths buried in the absurdity of all the stuff that's going on. And so pointing out those headlines was a step in that direction. Can't do anything about that stuff. I wish I could sometimes, but I can't, so I won't. So take the headlines and compare that to what I call lifelines. And here's a perfect example of lifelines for me. This past Saturday night, I was with 150 people, most of whom I know, you know, from high school at different levels, different grades, different times, stuff like that. But we have a shared background. We all went to Carl Schurz High School in Chicago. We're the Bulldogs. And Saturday night was what we call the Bulldog Bash. It was the 7th Bulldog Bash. Now, the counting is a little suspect, and since I'm the one that counts him, I'm a little suspect. The whole thing started in 2013. One of our coaches passed away, Ray Smith, and a bunch of football guys got together to honor his memory and stuff like that. And then we had one not long after Ray's memorial, and we had it for Coach Frank Prio, more football people, that kind of thing. And then for a couple years, I thought, well, this is a good idea. We should have people try to get together and stay together so you don't just go to a wake or a funeral and go, boy, maybe we should stay in touch more often and just not when people die. You know, like when we're alive, what a concept. So a couple times I would call that the Bulldog Bash 2 and Bulldog Bash 3, and there was like 4 or 5 of us drinking beer, and that's how it went. But by Bulldog Bash number 4, things started picking up, and then 80 people showed up. I don't know where they came from. And then we added a fundraising aspect and gave some money to the school and stuff. And now it's become this gigantic thing, which we're so proud of. And this last year, Bulldog Bash 7, which was just Saturday night, it was a phenomenal exchange of energy. I can't put it any other way. There's 4 of us, myself, Marilyn, Phil, Gary, we kind of planned the thing out for the whole year. There's a raffle. The Chicago Bears donated a helmet. We got Blackhawks jerseys and a ton of stuff. The Chicago Symphony donated tickets, and it becomes a huge raffle. So we charge a cover at the door. People walk in. Half that cover goes right to our bank. And then we do a raffle, and we're able to raise money and help, you know, programs at the Schurz High School that we all went to. And we think we're giving back a little bit. We feel we're giving back a little bit. And on top of it, we laugh our ass off for 4 or 5 hours and have a great time. So to me, this is what really matters. On Saturday night, a widow of a good friend of ours who passed away in 2012, Carl, he was in charge of the music department. Made a huge impact in kids' lives. I mean, he started the music academy and just a massive impact, long-lasting impact in hundreds and hundreds of students. And unfortunately, he passed, as I mentioned, in 2012. And so we've done some things in memory of our fallen classmates. And this year, almost unintentionally became what we call for the love of Bud or Bud Fest. This Bud's for you because that was his nickname. And at that event, his widow, Pat, stood up and wrote a check for $10,000 to the music department that will ensure that those kids have the best instruments that they could possibly have. Tim, who is a classmate of mine and my former co-captain in football in 1977, is now running that music department. So this is all in-house stuff. And we never saw that coming. In addition to that, there's five $1,000 college scholarships being awarded this year through the Bulldog Alumni Association. And we knew that was coming, but it kind of had to happen in its own way. Plus, we raised a bunch of money to help the kids that are called STLS kids, which are students in temporary living situations. We'd call them homeless back in the day. And we're helping the athletic fund. And it just becomes this incredible clot of good energy. I call that a lifeline. We don't need anybody's permission to do it. We don't need to pass a law to do it. We don't need Congress to do anything to get that done. We don't need the president to make a declaration or proclamation. We just do it. And so if you look at on the big board here, you can't see it, but you can envision it as I'm talking about, a big whiteboard. On one side, you put headlines and list all the stuff I just named off. You know, whether Pelosi's speakership is over, whether it's right or wrong, the president signs Bibles at a rally, what's going to happen to the scandal at the college because a bunch of very wealthy actors and actresses and Hollywood types are getting their kids. You could lift all that shit right on the left-hand side. And then on the other side, you put lifelines. And you put exactly what we had happen on Saturday night, what happens all year round. We were able to fund this, do this, help these kids do here. If you put those right down the middle, and you look at which ones you have more control over, or which ones you'd want to be involved in, I think the choice is pretty easy. I want to stay with lifelines. The headlines come and go. The lifelines are something you can be actively engaged in. And listen, this is not just a, you know, like kind of a spouting off of what our group of people did. Anybody can do this. You can do this right where you're at. You find one thing that you can do to make a difference, and it matters. Or you can sit and get pissed off the headlines. That's really the choice for me at this point. Listen, once I turned 60, I think of this happening when I turned 30, but for sure 60, it's like I got no time for that stuff. I've seen it over and over and over again. The names and the faces change, but the actions remain the same, and we expect it to be different. That's on us. And so instead of taking the energy and effort it is to get all pissed off over there and get your undies in a bundle about what's going on over there, think about the things you can do over here on this side of the lifeline. Leave the headlines alone. Nothing you can do about it. And this is a reminder for myself as well. I will oftentimes get yanked into this stuff, especially if it's personal, the stuff that was going on with the Coast Guard not long ago, just torqued my bolts. And anything to do with veterans gets me going. But as I've said before on this show and others, if there's an issue that's bothering you, instead of protesting against it, find something you can do for it. And all of a sudden, it's not an issue anymore because you're actively involved in the solution, even if it's just a little tiny bit. And you don't have to find anybody to agree with you or disagree with you or get a panel together. Just do it. I have a friend of mine I went to high school with. I believe she was at the event on Saturday night. And once a week, she volunteers at Ronald McDonald House. She's part of the solution. She could sit there and beat her gums to death about how there's not being enough done for sick kids or whatever. Instead, she volunteers at Ronald McDonald House. It's a big deal. Takes the edge off. Feels like you're part of something. And so if you're in a position to do something, you should do it. Again, you don't need permission. And if you need permission, here you go. Ready? I hereby grant you permission to make a serious difference in the world. Does that work for you? Work for me. The last part of this is a little offering that I put up on Saturday, and I think it's worth repeating. It is for me. I don't often read things verbatim, but I wrote this. It was a reminder of how important it is to stay centered in a world that's constantly trying to knock your bubble out of the middle of the level. That's our lives. I was able to spend a little time with my son about a week ago, 4 days, and we did some work on his kitchen and stuff. But getting around him, you get around a 28-year-old kid, he reminds me of who I used to be before, you know, worry lines and all that other kind of stuff. And it's a good energy. And this was a 12-hour round trip drive, basically, because he lives in Marquette. I'm in Chicago. It takes me 6 hours there, 6 hours back. You got piss breaks and food breaks and all the rest. So it's a good 12-hour trip. So I want to share this with you as we roll out of here. Then we're going to hit Earth Matters at the end, and I'll come back and finish this up. First and foremost, this post is filled with residual brain droppings from my recent trip north to the UP of Michigan to spend time with my son, which just wasn't a hangout session because the kid put me to work, and a few leftover thoughts from a 12-hour round trip with the radio off in the car. That's right. No music, no news, no sports, no politics, no shopping shows, no obits, no commercials, no religious programs, no incessant mindless morning madhouse chatter or semi-witty banter. Once I left the city limits of Chicago, that was it. No 5,000 song iPod playlist. Matter of fact, I don't even have an iPod. My central nervous system is already fried. The last thing I need to do is send it into warp overdrive listening to a bunch of talking heads on the radio who know everything about everything but haven't done much of anything but bloviate, speculate, and pontificate. And I know of what I speak. As a well-traveled talk radio host for the past 22 years, I know the game as well as anybody. It's all about the numbers, keeping the flock well-fed no matter what the topic, to be able to sell your quarter-hour listenership to sponsors and then lather, rinse, and repeat. However, no way did I want to get hooked into some topic that changes every 6 minutes if the phones don't ring in the studio and have my blood pressure go up over things I can't do anything about and will be forgotten when the next, quote, broken headline, unquote, rolls around. I just wanted to be able to hear myself think again from the inside out without all that static interference. It was Pascal who said in 1644 that all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Apparently the world was a pretty noisy place 375 years ago, but Blaise Pascal nailed it. It's far easier, or it appears to be, to rail against the world instead of taking care of something we can actually do something about, which is our very own existence. More satisfaction in pointing our fingers outward than inward, and far less dangerous. It takes zero effort to wait for some inflammatory post in the virtual landfill of Facebook and then verbally vomit all over the page, doing battle with people you will never actually meet in person, than it is to confront your own self. It does, however, take serious effort to, quote, bless your mess, and then set about spending whatever time you might have left cleaning it up. Spending time alone, really alone, no outside interference, is a workout, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And there's gold to be mined for sure, but first you got to dig for it. And with the oversaturation of information and desperation, it's really hard sometimes to get past the firewall of our fears and get our shit in one sock. I've learned if you don't take the time, one of two things are going to happen. First, life will force you into situations where you will eventually have to confront your stuff and yourself. Or two, you'll simply run out of time. The great deception of the human ego is that because your name isn't in the obits today, you're safe. That's bullshit. But that very illusion is what keeps us majoring in minor things until we realize, or not, that no one gets out of life alive. I decided a very long time ago that I won the lottery by simply being born, the odds of which are 1 in 400 trillion, and that how I was born, the circumstances, wasn't nearly as important as why I was born. So for better or for worse, I've been about the business of doing what I can, where I am, with what I have been given, come what may, working on my why, as it were. In order to fulfill my divine assignment, I need to access my inner files, where the blueprint is, and in order to do that, I can't be listening to an argument over whether or not we'll be eating out of garbage cans if a Democrat is elected president in 2020, even though people are eating out of garbage cans now, and socialism would sweep the nation like a plague. Or if LeBron James is the greatest basketball player in NBA history because he scored more points than Michael Jordan. He's not. All those hours in the car was a mini vacation from Chaos City. The only sounds that came out of my mouth were, whoa, when I saw a bald eagle flying across the tree line on M35, and, oh yeah, when I saw the A&W root beer sign. A billion thoughts drenched my brain pan. It took a little bit of time, about 2 hours, to get to a place in my head where I was just driving instead of being driven, if you get my drift. The trick is, of course, to maintain that clarity and discernment in the 21st century, when we're bombarded with news we can't use, can't change, and has been repeated so often we are numb to the stench of it all. So remember this, if you go within, you'll never go without. Here's Earth Matters with Bill Curtis.
As more people begin to look for alternative energy sources, it might just be that the Earth itself could hold the answer to heating and cooling our homes. The Earth is approximately 4.5 billion years old, and in some respects is really like a furnace, with a molten core temperature estimate of 7,000 degrees that keeps the planet warm. The heat radiates up towards the surface and produces geothermal energy that can be captured by the use of a pump that is efficient and saves money in the long run. As studies have shown, that it can provide the lowest utility bills of any residential system available. In winter, the pump can produce up to $5 of heat for every dollar spent on electricity to run it. And during summer in cooling mode, it has an energy efficiency ratio higher than the best central air conditioners. Further proof that Earth matters. I'm Bill Curtis.
So that geothermal concept is not new, by the way. I think when I produced and Bill put his voice to that script, it was at a time, it's about 3 years ago, that there's all this swell in alternative energy. And the word alternative has always been interesting. It's like alternative medicine. A lot of the stuff that we coin as alternative medicine is actually older than modern medicine. So there's not really an alternative. And so for me, the idea that solar, wind, and geothermal are alternative, they've been around since the planet's been around 4.5 billion years. They just haven't been harnessed. So we call, you know, modern technology stuff we suck out of the ground and make oil out of it, but this other stuff's been around forever. Anyway, we didn't have time to squeeze this in, and the pun's intended there. If you take that molten core temperature of the planet, 7,000 degrees roughly, and it's emanating out towards the surface, which warms the planet, and then you take the atmosphere that's around that is the ozone layer that holds that together, that space between the surface of the Earth and where the ozone meets, where this little shield is, where, you know, the sun rays get in and other stuff gets out, it's like this invisible sunscreen we have. We live in that space, right? So we're at the very surface of where the 7,000 degrees has worked its way to the top, and we're at the very bottom where the atmosphere meets the planet. We live in that little thin space. And so if you take that geothermal energy that's constantly radiating, that's keeping the Earth as warm as it's supposed to be for life on the planet, then you take what's coming down from the sun through the ozone layer and is in our atmosphere that we breathe and depend on for life, and we live in that little slice on the top, how anybody can say that we are not in a precarious position when we start messing with the very life support system that has been in balance for billions of years before humans ever came along? Is beyond my comprehension, but that's okay. You know, I don't spend a whole lot of time with people because if you haven't figured out in fifth grade, nothing I can say could probably change that. However, what I will say, there's always been climate change. That's without question. So is climate change real? Yeah, well, it's always been real. There's always been climate change. You could go back and look at the layers, unless you're someone who believes that we live like the Flintstones at once and that the Earth's only 5,000 years old and that dinosaurs and humans, you know, went to the rock pit together and worked. So if you're in that camp, not much I can say about that except, Wilma, I mean, really. But for the majority of people who understand that the Earth is a globe and there's a lot going on and we live in this spot, yes, I agree, climate change is not new. What is new is the rapid rate of climate change that has been brought on in the last 150, 200 years by the Industrial Revolution, which has put things in the atmosphere that were never there before and that don't go away. They have to, this doesn't float out into space. You understand that, right? I mean, pumping stuff into the air, it stays here. Putting stuff into the water stays here. This is kind of where we live. We're in this enclosed terrarium. We have to deal with this stuff. So while we can't see it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. There's people who haven't seen Bigfoot and they're convinced that they're. So, I mean, it's the same kind of mindset. So in all of that, when I put these Earth Matters in, our job has always been with that program is in a very short amount of time, it's only a minute long, was to take information that most people don't think about, transform it in a way, usually through Bill Curtis's Hello, I'm Bill Curtis voice, so you can grasp some of this stuff and at least make some concerned and conscious decisions as a consumer. You know, whether it's the recycling, little things. Remember I said before about lifelines? I get that there's zero I can do about whether or not the ozone layer repairs itself fully on the massive scale, on the macro. But on the micro, I can do my part. And I think to not do your part is an unconscious way of going through life. Doesn't mean you're going to change the whole thing, but you might make a difference right where you're at. Just like it was on Saturday night at the Bulldog Bash. We made a small dent, a small difference. And I think that's all you can ask. But if enough of us get together and make that small difference, it becomes a cumulative effort. Maybe some critical mass happens. Past all laws, you know, past all the crap that's going on in Congress and coming out from the EPA. Can't do anything about that. But where I'm at, I can make sure that I take care of my recycling the way I think I should. And it's so interesting. Remember, I was talking about vinyl records come back again. Back when in World War II, which I was not here for, they didn't waste anything. Everything was used for the war effort. Aluminum drives, paper drives, scrap iron, all stuff. Recycling was at its height. It's only till plastics came along. It's like, we can throw shit into the water. Doesn't work out too well. What goes around comes around. So thanks for your time and energy and effort today. I appreciate you spending time with me and becoming a subscriber if at all possible. We'd love to have you on board. This Wednesday Rant / Wednesday Wisdom / WTF Wednesday is brought to you by the people who allow me to do these freebies on an occasion. And those are the subscribers to Life 2.0. So you'd like to kind of run the PBS model, and I got to do the pitch here because this is just how it works for me. I was telling somebody about this yesterday, a subscriber of this program actually, and how I base this, because this is really the only model I know that works. I talked earlier about Channel 11 being an option when I was a kid growing up. Now, PBS is huge, right? They get some money from the government, and there's some funding here and there, but by and large, it's corporate sponsorships and people like you who keep PBS on the air. And so it's the subscribers to Life 2.0 that keep this on the air. And people that take part in that listen may not be subscribers, just like PBS. 80% of the people who watch programming on PBS, and I'm one of them, full disclosure, over the years I've donated money and I've actually been on fundraising drives and stuff like that. 80% of the people that watch PBS are not subscribers. 20% allow the 80% to be informed, entertained, and inspired. And that, at this point, is the model for the Life 2.0 podcast. So if you're enjoying these rants, raves, and reflections across the board. And I would encourage that if you can spare it, $20 a month, $5 a week, 66 cents a day, make sure that I keep doing what I'm doing in the way that I'm doing it. So from that point on, I wish you safe travels. And until next time, adios.